This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
This is a charming idea to have the bar right on the stage. I mean the snack bar, folks.
You want to embarrass me, make a fool out of me? You didn't gamble?
Well, did you ever?
Never.
What a swell party this is.
And you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. This is the place to be. As you can tell by our intro, we are broadcasting live from the iHeartMedia Studios, iHeartRadio Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. Not Nevada. Nevada! How do you like them apples? Okay, we have a lot of special guests with us today. Our first guest in a few minutes will be the public advocate in New York City, Letitia James. And we're going to talk about a number of other things, a report from the Citizens Budget Committee, the Taxi of Tomorrow. Now, since we're out west, some California drivers, the Arrow app, and anything you want to talk about. We will take your calls after the public advocate is on at 800-321-0710. And as always, I'll read your emails live on the air, if they're clean, folks, at taxihale@aol.com. So I had to get to Mandalay Bay to see a show that they have at Mandalay Bay. And I was at my hotel, and there was a guy in the lobby who says, I have an app that's going to get me there fast. I said, oh, okay, cool. He got in his car first and left, and I got in my car. I figured I would just go down the strip. It was Saturday night. It was very busy. And I got to the hotel. I got to my seats. I got to the Mandalay Bay, got to my seats just as the show was starting. And about a half an hour later, this guy walks in. And he sits, I see a few rows in front of me. So at the end of the show, I went up to him and I said, what happened to your app? You know, he says, oh, I got here before you, didn't I? I said, no, you got here a half hour after me. So sometimes apps aren't always made out to what they should be. Okay? I want to thank Noah for hooking up our studios in New York City. And I want to thank Daniel out here at iHeartMedia in Las Vegas for helping us with our Comrex system, and brought to you live. Now, a lot of stuff is going on, folks, as usual. We'll also have another guest in the studio as well. But the first thing I wanted to tell you is that Dr. Gil Lederman, the show right before this, okay, offers Cancer Solutions. And Cancer Solutions, any glimmer, any hope of a solution, you shouldn't leave any rock unturned, okay, any stone unturned. Give them a call. Give it a shot. Apparently, it does work for a number of people, his type of treatment. And as some of you may know, most of you don't know, I lost my wife to cancer. So if there's any hope, you really need to take advantage of it. And speaking of medicine, in New York State, this New York State Department of Mental Health is expanding a program providing mental health services to young adults with newly emerging psychotic symptoms. On Track New York City, which provides psychiatric treatment, employment, educational services, and family education for young adults, is expanding. Just wanted to get that out on the air, folks. And if you're in Upper New York State listening tonight, and tomorrow's the last day of the New York State Fair, and that's operated by the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets. It runs through tomorrow evening at the fairgrounds in Syracuse. And the fair's mission is to showcase the best of New York agriculture while providing top-quality entertainment. The home of Great New York State Fair is on a 375-acre exhibit and entertainment complex. That's for you upstate New Yorkers. Once again, we'll be speaking with the public advocate Trish James, Letitia James, and I'll tell you, she is a voice of the silent masses, those who have no voice, whether they're students with disabilities who need transportation, whether they're homeless, whether they're orphans, or even our veterans who have very little voice. She is there to fight for the small guy. She always has been. She always will be. And that's why I asked her to come on the show, because she's one of the people in New York City that I look up to. While we're here, let me just talk a little bit about the taxi of tomorrow. Now, the taxi of tomorrow is a Nissan vehicle called the NV200. You've heard it here. It's been a work in progress for many years. I remember when it started. I was on the original breakout sessions with taxi drivers, passengers, taxi owners, artists, designers, disability advocates, environmentalists, you name it. And everyone was throwing their two cents in about what the taxi of tomorrow should be. And they came up with the NV200. I won't tell you why that was chosen, even though a survey taken in the back of cabs, 84% of the people chose a different vehicle. But Mayor Bloomberg wanted it. And starting September 1st, any retired vehicle will be an NV200. You do have a choice. And it's in the Taxi Insider newspaper, which just started being distributed this weekend. But you do have a choice of some the Prius V or the Lexus Hybrid or the Pathfinder Hybrid, but and any of the wheelchair-accessible vehicles, the Siennas, the MV1s, and vehicles like that. But other than those, the Nissan NV200, and that vehicle for passengers, it includes USB chargers. Yeah, it has great leg room. It has a sunroof, and it was designed specifically for New Yorkers. But as you know, there were a lot of lawsuits that challenged the city's authority to design an official cab, and there was some opposition because the model isn't a hybrid, and there was no wheelchair accessible version, which there is now. But the car has yellow seat belts. They're easier to see on black seats. It has 6 airbags and a sliding door that keeps cyclists from smashing into open doors. You know, it's funny because a lot of people say, oh, a cab door hit my bicycle. Well, a cab door opens and, you know, it's tough on New York streets, but it's really the bicyclists who drive into the doors. You know, it's not the doors hitting bicyclists. It's the bicyclists hitting doors. And there's also greater space between the passenger's face and the partition. And that should be noted because a lot of injuries are caused. You know, New York traffic is stop and go, and sometimes you have to stop short. And if you're not buckled in, you may lunge forward. So it's a good thing to have extra room between your face and steel or glass, that's for sure. Now, the Taxi Limousine Commission said they expect about 80% of all the yellow cabs to become the NV200 within the next several years. If anyone's interested, right now, there are more than 750 taxis of tomorrow on the road, even though the model hasn't been required yet for medallion owners. So there are 750. They're the vans. I will tell you this, you know, as a very heavy person, if there's three of you, one of you may want to get in the front. I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, other than that, and, you know, some drivers want a hybrid, yet this gasoline engine is small. And for those of you who need a wheelchair-accessible vehicle, obviously you have a choice, including the NV200. So our number here is 1-800-321-0710, and our email address is taxihail@AOL.com, and we will be waiting for the public advocate to join us. Let me read an email that just came in from Pat Johnson. Hey, Dave, I worked last night. I went down West 55th Street looking for fares and didn't end up finding any. I was livid when I saw that there were new no left turn signs posted at 7th Avenue and Broadway. Any explanation for this at all? I don't have an explanation for it, but I will tell you this. You know, I don't know if they spoke with taxi drivers. That would be the Department of Transportation. I will tell you this, though, from a personal experience, Pat, and everyone should listen to this. When you go eastbound on 34th Street, there used to be a no-left turn on 1st Avenue, which meant if you wanted to go north to any of the hospitals, especially NYU or Bellevue, you couldn't make a left turn on 1st Avenue to go up. You had to take the service road south along the FDR Drive, go down to 26th Street, and then come back up just to get to 34th again, and then finally get to the hospitals, Bellevue and NYU. The stupidest left turn sign I've ever seen in my life. One day I was lucky enough to be at a major Department of Transportation meeting down at 55 Water Street. For those of you who don't know, that's where their headquarters are. And there had to be 30 people sitting at this long table from, I mean, every part of the Department of Transportation. So kidding around before we started, I said, who's the idiot that put up the no left turn sign on 1st Avenue and 34th Street? And one guy raised his hand. That was me. I said, really? How many years have you been doing this? Well, I just got out of college 6 months ago. So, Pat, I don't know if there's statistics. I don't know who makes the decisions. But I do know from a personal experience that sometimes, at least in the past, they have some youngin with no experience making decisions for thousands of cars that are going to end up causing traffic. Do you hear me, folks? We need input. Hey, I have a radio show. Ask me to put something out there. Let people call. I have a newspaper. Let people email. What do you think about no left turn on 55th and 7th Avenue? Crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. The public advocate should be joining us any minute. In the meantime, I see we have a couple of callers already. So let's take Salah. You're first on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing, David?
Okay.
Yeah, I have like a kind of question. It's been, you know, coming up to my mind all the time. Why us not having, you know, a union, a real union like everyone else, to be protected from everything against us? And also, like, you know, nothing has been changed with Uber, with all the vehicles around the hotels, and all these, like, still illegal, you know, pickup everywhere.
What happens around the hotels?
Yeah, illegal cabs, and they pretend they are arranged, you know, connected to the doorman, you know, and that, you know, there's no way you can park around them, and you know, there's no chance for you to pick up also, unless, you know, you know the doorman and give him some money.
Uh-huh.
Why not having a union, since the TLC is not showing over there? All they do is going, you know, against us in the streets, you know, for whatever reason is, you know. And there is, like, revenue money over there. They can make a lot of money, you know, instead of going after cabbies, working hard to pick up fare here and there, you know, for what, you know.
All right, Salah. You've made a lot of valid points. And I do appreciate you calling the Taxi Dave Show. Thanks a lot, man. Also in our studios tonight is someone who lives in Las Vegas. Her name is Colette, and she's actually a dancer at one of the major hotels in Las Vegas. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Ah, bonjour, Taxi Dave.
Bonjour. And there's a special listener who we want to wish a happy birthday to.
Oh, yes. I will give, as you say, a shout-out to our friend Eric Garcia for a very happy birthday. The happiest.
Happy birthday, Eric. Okay, let's take our next caller. Charbel, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show this Sunday before Labor Day.
Sunday before Labor Day. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. David. Now, every rules, bad rules, and regulations against the taxi you should see the taxi and limousine commission. Boom! They make it pass without any question. Nobody can stop them. Why damn taxi and limousine commission, they don't go after Uber, after Lyft, you know? And when Bloomberg was in the office, ran for third time, costing $100 million to buy the third election, he created his own company. Don't you think they should bring him over to justice, him and Yasky? It's illegal what he did, man. He destroyed our life. He destroyed our future.
So you're saying that someone, when you say go after the former mayor and the former taxi commissioner, what are you saying exactly?
Bring him to justice. Bring him to court. We should sue them. Because it's crime what he did. It's illegal what he did. Licensing Uber and created his own company, put the company in his daughter's name. That is insane. That's against the law. He knew exactly he was auctioning off medallions, and under the table he was creating his own company and getting money from Lyft and doing all the illegal stuff.
How do you know this? You're a taxi driver in New York City. How do you know this?
Well, I hear it from passengers. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I hear it from passengers.
Yes, really?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Wow. Let me ask you something. What do you think about the new app called Arrow? Have you heard about it?
No. I heard about it, but we don't know how it works. We've been Verifone promised us about the Verifone app since May, and we haven't seen it. What's going on here?
Isn't there Way to Ride? Isn't that their app, Way to Ride?
Yes.
And how does that work?
Well, it's similar to any other app. If you're going to see the closest passenger looking for a cab, and it's going to show up on your screen, and you hit accept or decline. When you hit accept, you got to go pick up the job. And many times, I do hit accept, and I go to pick up the passenger, the job is being canceled.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I heard a little bit about Arrow. Next week, by the way, folks, we're having the president of the Arrow app on. They have 8,700. They have their app in 8,700 licensed taxis in New York City. So we'll talk with the president of Arrow next Sunday. Charbel, thanks for calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Latif, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Thanks for taking my call. One thing that bothers me is how Uber company just comes in to frustrate the yellow car business in New York City. And for the authority to allow it the way it's going on, it's very unfair to those of us who have invested so much money in buying medallion. Look at what is happening now. We hardly have fares now to pick up on the streets. And where there are millions or thousands of cars, these Uber cars just rolling the street, picking up here and there. I think it's a sabotage because the people I understand are connected or involved in the establishment of Uber is the former mayor and the former TLC chairman.
So you agree with the former caller, Charbel?
I think so, because I hear this not only from one person, from fellow drivers. It's more than one person that did make mention of this. So I agree with him, yes.
How long have you been driving a New York City taxi cab?
I've been driving since 1985.
I have driven for garages. And you think right now it's unfair what's happening? Is that what you're saying?
It is very unfair to those of us who are invest heavily in yellow cab medallion. The way things are going now, it is very unfair to us.
I hear a little bit of an accent. Where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in Nigeria.
So you were born and raised in Nigeria. You came to the United States. And how did you save enough money to buy a medallion? I want people to understand that medallion owners are small business people, like you, Latif.
Yes, I'm a small man business too. I just happened to have a good credit when it was time for, the opportunity came and I applied for a loan and I secured a loan to get the medallion, which I'm still paying back. You know what it is like buying a house. It's mortgage.
That's right. A lot of people think you buy a medallion and you all of a sudden you buy a closet full of tuxedos and a case of champagne.
God bless them. God bless them. I work my ass off to pay my bills. Believe you me. And it's not easy.
I believe you.
It's not easy.
Do you have other friends who own one medallion who came to this country from other countries?
Yes, I have a very good friend of mine who is unable to be on the radio show tonight because he's not in the city right now. He traveled out to Texas. If he's there, he would have been talking on the radio because
he can call next week. He can call next week. Listen, thank you for sharing. I appreciate the call. The Taxi Dave Show. By the way, we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And we are broadcasting live from the iHeart Radio Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada.
May we?
And we're here with Colette, who's a dancer on one of the major hotels. I can't say which hotel for whatever reason. But thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show.
It is my pleasure.
Okay. Let me send this out. And our next caller is Bert. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, David. Happy holiday to everybody, David. And a reminder, when we talk about Labor Day, that the taxi drivers in New York City and all over the United States of America, whether they drive a yellow cab or a car service or Uber or a black car, wherever they drive, it doesn't matter. They are among the hardest working men and women that perform services for the cities and the states that they're in, David.
That is right.
David, I want to talk to you something about the Taxi of Tomorrow real quickly, if you don't mind. I've seen the Taxi of Tomorrow, and I've heard all the good things about it, and I think it'll be a big boost for the medallion industry once the passengers get in it and get comfortable with it and like it. But I want to stress something to all the drivers, and this will also answer some of the questions that your callers had before. Some of them asked about a union, some of them asked about an app or about Uber, about this or that. Okay, the Taxi of Tomorrow, what they need to do is, remember, focus this. Everybody that's listening to this show, if you're going to drive the Taxi of Tomorrow, you need to be the taxi driver of tomorrow. You have to up your game. We have to, improve
taxi drivers. That's a very good point, Bert. Calm down a second. If you want to drive the Taxi of Tomorrow, you have to be the taxi driver of tomorrow, right? So what exactly do you mean by that, Bert?
Okay, here's what I think the taxi industry needs to do. First of all, I'd like to see nice uniforms for all taxi drivers so everybody knows who the taxi drivers are when you're standing outside the car or by a hotel or anywhere else. Also, taxi drivers also go to school. The schools need to be improved. I teach defensive driving, and I also teach many other things about driving a taxi. If you want to drive a medallion taxi in New York, please, you're not fooling anybody if you're talking on a hands-free device. You're not supposed to talk on any device. It's distracting and it's rude to the passenger. No talking, no cell phones, no texting. Pay attention to the customer. If the customer doesn't want to talk to you, that's fine. But if the customer does want to talk to you, well, that's when you can increase your tip. But we got to up the game. The taxi drivers have to be more professional, act more professional, and be right up to the new Taxi of Tomorrow. And for an incentive for taxi drivers to act like that, David, this industry needs to change, okay? The taxi drivers need to have something to make it a career, okay? They need to get a pension. They need to get health care. They need a lot of things. They need to pay vacation. These are things that can be done. But, if everybody sits down and works together, some people might take a little cut in something. Some people might make an increase. But it'll stabilize the industry, David. This industry needs to be stabilized. There's so much potential. If there wasn't so much potential, you wouldn't have billion-dollar companies like Uber and Lyft and everyone else wanting a piece of what's out there. Because the public transportation system will never be good enough to handle the amount of people in a city like New York. We need taxis, we need black cars, we need car service, we need apps, we need everything, and there's room for everything, but they need to work together. Stop criticizing the other elements of the industry. Try to sit down and see how everybody can work together.
I agree with you. There's enough work out there for everybody. Yet there are some companies that say things like, we're going to put you out of business. And some former politicians who've said that as well, if you recall.
Well, we can try to go after former politicians, but they're very powerful, and I'm sure that no matter what people might hear, you know, a rumor that this one did that and that one did that, it takes a lot of evidence to make a case against somebody, right? And the people that did what they're being accused of, you can be sure that they, you know, spoke to attorneys and, you know, and advisors, and I'm pretty sure what they did was they knew what they were doing if they did something like that. And it's still the United States of America where you're allowed to have a new idea and a new company. You know, we encourage people to do that.
Thanks for listening and calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Look, I have one driver on the phone. I know he's working, so I'm going to get him on and off real quick. Then we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll get to our guest, the current public advocate of the city of New York, Letitia James. Ed, real quick, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey,
listen, just one quick. Good. Just one quick question. Well, two comments. The fact of the matter is, I received a parking ticket on McDougal Street, and I fought the ticket, and I just dropped off some passengers. They were out of my cab in 10 to 15 seconds. But the traffic agent was scanning my registration prior to the passengers getting out of the cab. I sent in pictures, GPS reports, and all that, the whole nine yards, the letter of the law, and I was found guilty. I went for appeal, and they asked me, well...
Ed, do you drive for somebody else?
No. I've struck myself. I work at I leased a medallion, and I own the vehicle. But anyway, okay. I lost the appeal.
So you don't own a medallion?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You're a taxi driver.
And
yes.
before your passengers got out of a cab, a traffic agent was scanning your registration to give you a ticket for illegally being parked. And what's the second problem?
Well, I went down for the appeal, and they sent me a notice and saying that I was guilty. You know, the traffic agent was within the letter of the law. I was wondering, is there something new going on that the city is going after taxi drivers when they drop off passengers? Well, that's one question, but you can answer that later if you like or whatever. And my second question is with the wait to ride. Half of the calls I received, they've been canceled. So. That's my comment.
You agree with Shaw Bell that half your calls were canceled also with that one.
Exactly, you know, so.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to ask a city official when we come back. We'll have Letitia James. Just to let you folks know, when we come back, she'll be on. She helps the silent masses. I've told you this before. She is the spokesperson for those who cannot speak for themselves, for orphans, for the homeless, for students with disabilities. And for veterans as well. So when we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. We'll read your emails. But first, when we come back, we will be with Letitia James, the public advocate of the city of New York. Taxi Dave will be right back. Stay tuned.
When I'm going down to Roselle, take my run up on my side.
Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
The cutting edge of entertainment. The ultimate in 3D technology. The ultra immersion experience. So real it feels real. Break the chains of routine. Slip away from your daily commute and step into the legendary New York Renaissance Fair. Discover delectable food, drink, and exquisite handcrafted goods not found in any big box mart. Stroll in sun-dappled lanes with joyous revelers, royalty and peasants, knights and wenches all await you at the fair. Rediscover the joy of having all your senses enticed in an escapade back through the mists of time. Come join us in the joyful festivities at the New York Renaissance Fair.
The New York Renaissance Fair, open Saturdays, Sundays, and Labor Day Monday, August 1st through September 27th in Sterling Forest, Tuxedo Park. Buy discount tickets at Walgreens. Performance schedules and other info at renfair.com. Are you ready? Dress as a pirate and enter our parade this weekend. Also, meet a mermaid. Coupons at renfair.com.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the dude of man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking on, on, on.
Taxi Dave Show is back. It's Sunday night. This is the place to be, WOR 710. You're listening to the number one radio show. Okay, the number one radio show. Can you believe that? And we're broadcasting live from iHeartRadio Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. Today on the show, as I told you, New York City public advocate Letitia James. She is the second highest ranking official in New York City, and she's the watchdog for the public. Whether through legal action, or public pressure, a coalition building, or pushing for legislation, Tish, as her friends call her, Tish James, fights on behalf of New Yorkers on a wide variety of issues. And recently, her work has included pushing for creating a Department of Veterans Affairs, fighting for kids in foster care, working for NYC's public school kids. Patricia James, public advocate, it's great to have you with us on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing, Taxi Dave? Thank you for having me this Sunday evening as we prepare for Labor Day tomorrow and as we celebrate all of the work of hard men and women throughout our country who have stood up for labor and for the middle class in this country.
Well said. Well said. Is it Madam Advocate?
No, it's just simply Tish James or Letitia James. Okay. You know, I tend to be very humble. I recognize that I serve the people. And I don't serve myself. And I recognize that I was elected to this office by the people and this office can be removed by the people on any given day. And that's why each and every day I look forward to going to the Office of Public Advocate and standing up for the interests of New Yorkers and for those without a voice, and for the dwindling middle class, and for those who are trying to hold on to and to make ends meet in New York City.
And that's why I love Tish James. You know, I'm saying that on live radio. I love Tish James.
Thank you. So, I love you.
So over the summer, you worked with Councilman Ulrich and to push for creation of a New York City Department of Veterans Affairs to provide services for 250,000 vets in New York City. Talk about helping New York City. What's the status of that campaign?
Well, let me just say that it's really unconscionable that tonight there are almost 2,000, maybe 3,000 or more homeless veterans who are sleeping on our streets who are homeless in New York City. It's really unconscionable that individuals who fought for our freedom and the right for you or anyone else to disagree with me, the ability for me to exercise the First Amendment, all of the protections that you and I enjoy as Americans, because of veterans and some who made the ultimate sacrifice. And it's really unconscionable that there are so many who are homeless and so many who are suffering from post-traumatic stress and so many who unfortunately can't make ends meet and so many who come back to these shores who are disabled, who can't, with their disability pensions, just not enough to meet rent prices or cost of living or housing prices in this city. And it's also a shame that in New York City, this office, there's a mayor's office of veterans affairs, but it has a measly budget of $600,000 basically to fund all of the veterans in New York City, and we believe that there are
$2.50 a piece, huh?
Yeah, it's really, really, you know, unconscionable. These veterans face financial barriers. As I indicated, some of them are homeless. Some of them have children. So
if there were to be New York City's Department of Veterans Affairs, what would be your vision helping these vets?
First of all, let's talk about housing. We need to have all the homeless. We need to offer all, these veterans, our wounded warriors. We need to offer them services, services to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. We need to offer them services to integrate back into the society. We need to make sure that they gain work, or they can open up their own business. They need to be integrated into our society in all aspects. But first and foremost, we need to address the homeless crisis. And the fact is that 2,000 to 3,000 or maybe more homeless veterans are sleeping on our streets and in our shelters, and that's really unconscionable. People who are soliciting us each and every day for money on the subway. Yesterday, a friend was telling me she was on the subway, and there was a veteran who got on the subway, and he told this terrible story about how he can't make ends meet. He doesn't have enough money to feed his family, his children. We know that some people on the subway, you know, sometimes they come up with some creative stories. But this story, based upon what he said, everyone on the subway knew that it was real. And everyone had to dig deep and provide him with a contribution, a donation. But he shouldn't have to beg on our subways. We have an obligation and a duty to respond to the needs of our veterans because they responded to the call to stand up for our freedom in foreign countries. And so that's what I would do. First and foremost, make this agency, mayoral agency, fully funded, and their number one mission would be to focus on homeless veterans.
Long overdue. It certainly is long overdue.
Long overdue. Long overdue.
We all know someone who's a veteran. Listen to Tish James, folks, okay? You won't go wrong.
And what's so sad about it is, you know, we only talk about veterans on Veterans Day and those who lost their lives on Memorial Day. It just can't be limited to just one day, Veterans Day, you know? It's got to be 365 days a year. We got to think about our veterans, salute our veterans, thank a veteran, and again, raise our voice in this country. Not only in New York City, not only is there a responsibility on the mayor, Mayor de Blasio, but there's also a responsibility on the United States Congress as well as our president to do the right thing on behalf of our veterans.
It's society's duty to help the veterans, and you are the voice that helps, okay, push society's duty to wake people up. And speaking of that, another voice that people don't have are students with disabilities. I understand there are everyone knows someone disabled or a child who's disabled. I have family members who've been disabled and are disabled. The school buses that carries kids with disabilities have problems. During the summer, I remember reading a story of they didn't have air conditioning. It's 100 degrees outside, and, you know, these disabled kids are sitting in sweltering bus with windows closed. What happened here?
So, Dave, listen, summer is not over. We still have some hot days coming up. In fact, Tuesday and Wednesday, they predict that the weather will be around 90, 92 degrees. And so we're suing, you know, my office has decided to sue the Department of Education for allowing these vulnerable children with disabilities, to ride on these dangerously hot buses. These are children who have moderate to severe disabilities. Some of them are suffering from autism. A number of them are emotionally challenged. Some of them are language impaired. Some of them have a number of disabilities. They suffer from learning disabled and they're intellectually disabled, and a lot of them can't communicate. And so I heard from a number of their parents, and they were riding on these buses. They were required to be air conditioned by law, but in fact they were not. And last year, We had a press conference. We brought this to the attention of the Department of Education. They promised me and my office that they would fix it. But unfortunately, here we are again, another summer, and the problems persist. And I went on one of these buses, and the temperature exceeded 100 degrees on that bus.
You know, if you leave your dog in a car with the windows closed, people call 911, the police come, the media comes. You know, it's a front page story, person left dog in car. But here we have our kids being transported daily, disabled children who have no voice.
And it's required. Their individual educational plan requires that they have air conditioning. And there's this one young lady who was part of our lawsuit, her name is Aisha. Her mother came to my office and basically said that when she came home from school on several days, she was drenched in sweat and feeling nauseous from extreme heat on her school bus. Another parent said that her child, who is nonverbal, would bang their head on the bus, and when they got into school, because they were drenched in sweat, just were banging their head against the wall because they just couldn't breathe. And you cannot open windows on these buses, particularly on buses that serve disabled children. And so it's a health hazard, and it's also a health hazard to the driver as well. And so that's why we have decided to sue the Department of Education. And it's basically to follow the law. That's all that we are asking, to honor the individual educational plan of each of these children and to take into consideration that these are vulnerable children who oftentimes cannot speak for themselves. On behalf of all of these parents and on behalf of these very special children, we sued and we're in court now.
So the only way to the only reform measures to be put in place preventing this from happening are to follow the current law?
That's it. Just follow the current law. If
Amazing.
You have a problem with the company, if the company has mechanical problems, or if they're not honoring their end of the bargain, then fire them. It's a violation of the contract. They're supposed to follow the law as well. And if, in fact, the company that transports these children is not in a position to provide air conditioning, then you've got a responsibility to hire a new company and to make sure that the needs of these special children are being addressed. And like you said, just what we are asking is to follow the law. We had no other choice. They promised us last year. It didn't happen. The conditions persist. These children are getting sick. And the teachers tell me that when they get off the bus and they're drenched in sweat, it takes them at least 45 minutes to an hour to calm them down, taking away very precious educational time.
Contact your city councilman, folks, and just tell them our children are more important than dogs, okay? When dogs get locked in a car, people call 911. Children are being driven around in buses that are over 100 degrees. I mean, every subway car is air-conditioned. Every bus is air-conditioned. Every taxi cab is air-conditioned. We can't have air conditioning for our kids who are disabled, who have no voice. That's why we need Tish James. And that's why she's on this show. One other thing I'd like to touch on, if you don't mind, public advocate,
sure.
Tish.
Sure.
Foster care. Now, I understand you filed a class action lawsuit against New York City regarding Children and Family Services, accusing them of causing irreparable harm to the kids in foster care?
It's important, Dave, that your listeners know that we do file a lot of lawsuits. We also initiate sponsor legislation in the city council, and we work with the administration and mayor's office as well as the city council to resolve issues. We have a constituent complaint office or department where we receive calls from constituents. And so we file lawsuits as a result, as a last resort. And so the Administration for Children's Services...
There seem to be a lot of last resorts here.
Unfortunately, it's the last resorts. It's bad management. And when it rises to a level of a pattern in practice, we bring it to the attention of the administration. And when we don't get a recourse, we have to file litigation to get their attention. It's unfortunate that judges have to step in and manage these types of situations. And so the Administration for Children's Services, whose responsibility it is to care for children, they delegated foster care to 29 agencies, contract agencies. They basically contract out foster care. And these contracts are written, these agencies are required to comply with all ACS policies. And it's our belief that the Administration for Children's Services is failing to monitor these agencies because we heard, again, as a result of the complaints coming into our office and as a result of calls from parents and providers and caseworkers and social workers, et cetera, that foster care children are being physically abused, emotionally abused, sexually abused as a result of being in a system for far too long. In fact, New York City, New York State ranks in the lowest percentile as it relates to having children adopted. And these children are spending more and more time in the foster care system, going from one foster care parent to another, oftentimes for years on end. And it's really just unacceptable. And it's important to know that, you know, during the crack epidemic, you know, we had 30,000 children in foster care. Right now, we're at an all-time low. We have 11,000 children in foster care. Yes, it's far too high, but it's 11,000 children in foster care that we need to get adopted, that we need to make sure that their needs are being addressed, that they're not physically abused, sexually abused, psychologically abused, that they're being taken care of, that they're loved. But they need a permanent plan. And in some cases, some of these children were removed when there's a question as to whether they should have been removed at all, and or if they were removed, they should have been returned to their parents with certain services that the parent did not have at the outset, and which was the basis for the removal. And so,
listen, go ahead.
That's what we're trying to do.
Unbelievable. You are the conscience of society. We're speaking with public advocate Tish James from New York City. We've touched on Veterans Affairs. We've touched on transportation for students with disabilities. And we've touched on foster care. I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on the Taxi Dave Show and discussing these very important issues to all of us. You are the voice for people who don't have a voice. Thank you again, public advocate.
Thank you for all you do on standing up on behalf of taxi drivers, and thank you for allowing me to talk a little bit about the Office of Public Advocate. God bless you and have a great evening.
Okay. When we come back, we do have a lot of phone calls, we have a lot of emails, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So this is Taxi Dave on the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. We're broadcasting live from the iHeart radio stations out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm here with Colette, a dancer from the Strip.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, my God, folks. Stay tuned for more Taxi Dave.
Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you sick of reality shows that aren't real at all? And laugh tracks attempting to disguise the not-so-funny? Come to the fair. Disenchanted with the day-to-day? Come to the Renaissance Fair. Ready to make some amazing memories with your family, your partner, or your friends? Come to the New York Renaissance Fair. Step into our legendary realm where beautiful items are crafted by hand. Entertainers will surprise and play for you. And our feast of food will delightfully overwhelm you. Spend the day at the fair and know true adventure and excitement. Real people, real food, real fun. Live it up at the New York Renaissance Fair.
The New York Renaissance Fair opens Saturdays, Sundays, and Labor Day Monday, August 1st through September 27th in Sterling Forest, Tuxedo Park. Buy discount tickets at Walgreens. Performance schedules and other info at renfair.com.
Raise a cold Heineken, Blue Moon, or Coors and toast the queen this weekend. Buy discount tickets at participating Walgreens locations.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The angels listened in. Listen. When they heard me pray. The angels listened in. Listen. When they heard me say. Please send me someone to love. Send the one I'm thinking of, my darling. The angels sent you.
Taxi Dave Show is back. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Here's an email from Bob. Forget Charbel. Forget Finizia. You need Colette on your show as a permanent co-host. That's from Texas. Thanks a lot, Bob. Thanks for encouraging that that behavior.
Go, Bobby.
Let's see. Another email. Uber did this to Lyft. They may be doing it to a wait-a-ride. Wait-a-ride. Very suspicious. From Steve. I'm back in New York City, got one of the cleanest yellow cabs at JFK. No partition or anything like that in most yellows except the annoying taxi TV in front of my face. I tune into 105.9 FM. Oh, that's the classical station. It would be a pleasant cab ride, and I hope all cabbies follow that trend to improve the image of New York City yellow taxi drivers simply being clean and professional like my driver is. Is there any city in the USA where partitions are mandated? In Europe and also in Hungary, taxi cabs are not partitioned. Thanks a lot, Steve. I'll tell you what. Let's take our next caller, Bruce. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hello, Bruce.
Good evening, Taxi Dave.
No. Good evening, Colette.
Oh, Colette. Parlez-vous français?
oui, un petit peu.
Bruce, take your time and hurry up.
I don't know much
left.
French. what can I say? I called about...
That's what I'm asking you. What can you say?
I drove a bus back in the late 80s. And bus drivers work for a company. I mean, the vice principal should call the company, the bus driver company. Typically, a bus delivers, takes home four groups of kids in one evening, and they take four groups of kids to school in the morning. So they drop off one group of kids, then they go to the next school. Now, while the driver's sitting there in the bus waiting for the kids to get onto the bus, he should or she should take the weather into consideration. On a hot day, you go down the line and open the windows. You only have to open to the first notch. It's only 2 inches. Nobody can jump out. You could open them to the second notch. That'd be 4 inches on a hot
day. Did you have air conditioning on your bus?
No, we did not. Not.
That was
no.
1984, right?
Yeah, I don't know that they have air conditioning.
That was 30 years ago.
Well, if they do, they do. But in any case, the vice principal should call the school or call the bus company, and the bus company is going to go to the driver and say, "Hey, driver, you know, you've got to do this, that, and the other thing." And
Bruce, great idea.
I'd also
really
like
appreciate
to talk about the veteran thing a little bit.
We don't have much time. You got 30 seconds.
They should round them up, take them to a military base, and they could receive training the same as the same as they did while they were in the military, except they would learn how to operate a business or how to drive a taxi or how to do this or that or whatever they're interested in. And there are plenty of veterans around who might be willing to go there on a weekend and teach a class. I think I might do it myself if they would round these people up and take them to a military base. There's plenty of barracks.
Great
they
suggestions, Bruce.
Feeding
great
facilities.
Great suggestions on the disabled transportation for kids and great suggestions for the veterans. I want to thank you for calling in and listening to the Taxi Dave Show. An email from Larry. Arrow works exclusively with CMT now. That will change as we grow. From Sujan, Arrow is another example that we're not united. How can you compete with exiting car service app when half of the yellow industry can't dispatch with Arrow? It's not going to work. If it doesn't work at the first place, it's not going to work in the future. It's so hard to make one app for all cabs. Do not launch Arrow without compatible for all cabs and need time to integrate. We'll take time to do so. Thank you. Our next caller, JFK Mike. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Ah, bonsoir, Mike. How are you?
Oh, ça passe, mademoiselle. I'm here at bonjour, Senor Dave. I mean, Monsieur Dave. I got my countries mixed
Monsieur.
Up. Yes. First of all, real quick, it's the main line at JFK is 70% full. It's sluggish, but it's moving. There are newspapers here and happy people. And I just want to say, with Colette, my friend, you get more bees with honey. So she's so sweet, you should call her Sugar.
Okay.
Oh, je t'adore.
Yeah, great.
now, if you,
I'm going to hear about this one.
If you'll excuse me now, I have to run into the bathroom and make yes.
Okay, thanks for calling, JFK Mike. Michael, you have 20 seconds. Next caller.
Hi, Taxi Dave. As far as the way to ride, it seems to me either there is a force behind the scenes that does not want it to ride, to run, or all these calls that we get are like fake calls. You know, accept the call when there is no customer stand, actually.
All right, Mike, I got to go. I want to thank Letitia James, a public advocate, for being on. Call back next week, Mike. I appreciate all my callers, all my listeners. I want to thank Colette for coming down from her club on the Strip. And what could I say, folks? Live from Las Vegas, the Taxi Dave Show. Come on, iHeart Radio. I want to thank Noah and Scott, the two engineers that brought this together. We'll see you next week. This is Taxi Dave. Hey, taxi!
Bonsoir, mes amis.
Take me to that club where Colette works.
This has been a podcast from WOR.